like Bessie said, we're going to look at mercy today, and mercy is really the heart of God toward his people. In the Old Testament, there are four different words for mercy. One means to be gracious. One has to do with the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. Another one has to do with God having mercies or bowels or being pitiful. And what we're going to look at is God's mercy, sheked or chesed in Hebrew, excuse me, which is mercy, kindness, and loving kindness. And we're going to begin in Nehemiah 9. I'll give you an hour to find it. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. It's in that section over there. Nehemiah 9. Wait till everybody's there. And we're going to begin in verse 9. And God did see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea and showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and on all his servants and on all the people of his land, for thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name, as it is this day. And thou did divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land. He's talking about the children of Egypt, children of Israel coming out of Egypt. So God divided the sea, and they went through on dry land, and their persecutors God threw into the deeps as a stone into the mighty waters. Great figure. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spoke with them from heaven, and gave them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. If you think back to those laws and statutes and commandments that God showed Moses to give to the children of Israel, they were things that would help them. God was always helpful to his people here. And he made known unto them the holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, the servant, and gave them bread from heaven for their hunger. How kind is that? And brought forth water for them out of a rock for their thirst, and promised them that the land which that they should go in to possess the land which thou had sworn to give them. Verse 16, but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders. All those wonderful things, the pillars, the enemy like stones in the deep. They weren't mindful of that. Neither were mindful of the wonders that thou did amongst them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But, and it's a really big but thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsook them not. Mercy and kindness are both the same word there. It means loving kindness. And God's loving kindness is great. It's abounding. It's great. In Psalm 36, God is so different than man. Somebody slights somebody in the world, and the person slighted says, well, heck with you. I'm not having anything to do with you. God, these people hardened their hearts, stiffened their necks, did not obey. And yet he was of great mercy and great loving kindness. His loving kindness is great. In Psalm 36, verse 5, thy mercy, or loving kindness, O Lord, is in the heavens. What a picture. And thy faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Think how big and majestic and strong. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preserves man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness. Excellent. O God, therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings, and they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light we shall see light. God's loving kindness is excellent. It's prized. It's a prized thing. It's precious. It's weighty. It's splendid. In Psalm 69, We're just looking at some of the characteristics or descriptions of God's loving kindness to his people. This next one is good. His loving kindness is good. Psalm 69, verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude or abundance of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me. Get the picture that the psalmist had this sinking feeling. He was overwhelmed, like he was drowning, like he was sinking in mud, drowning in water. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. And that mercies there is the pity, the bowels of compassion. But the loving kindness, thy loving kindness, wow, it's good. It's very good. In Psalm 17. Verse 7. Look at this description. Show thy marvelous loving kindness. O thou that saves by the right hand them that put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. And we see it again. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. His marvelous loving kindness. Marvelous is wonderful. It's surpassing. And another great descriptive word is extraordinary, his extraordinary loving kindness. That's what God's loving kindness is, and we can have it. It's a promise to us. You know, I'm reminded of Malachi 3:6, I think it is. The first part of that verse says, I'm the Lord, I change not. Nothing has changed from this God back then that was great and good and excellent in his mercies and loving kindness. Nothing has changed today. And we'll see the magnitude of that as we keep looking at this. Here's another marvelous, chapter 31 of Psalms. And this is just skimming it. This is just a skim of his loving kindness, the attributes of his loving kindness. 31, verse 21. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness, his extraordinary kindness, his wonderful kindness, his surpassing kindness in a strong city, in a protected city. God was showing his wonderful, marvelous, incredible, extraordinary loving kindness in a protected place. In Isaiah 63, so Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah 63. Here we see that God's loving kindness is multitudinous. That's a big word. What's multitudinousness mean? It's abundant, it's great, it's big, it's really, really big, big. That's what that means. Multitudinous. Isaiah 63:7. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. Loving kindnesses in the beginning of the verse and at the end of the verse are the same thing. It's that C word, that one. Mercies is the other one that starts with an R. That's how you say it. You have to get that like phlegm going to say it right. His multitude, abundance. It's just a great amount of loving kindness. It's almost, it is unfathomable. At least to me. I mean, maybe you can picture it. He talks about, you know, his faithfulness being as this big and then his greatness being this big and his loving kindness being this big. Wow. Wow. And look at this one, Psalm 63. And in verse 3, well, let's start in verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. His loving kindness is better than life itself. And that's what that means, better than life. There's no like hidden meaning in that thing. It's better than life, his loving kindness. And we have that loving kindness in our lives because he is God, he changes not. When we talk about mercy being the heart of God and we look at it in the Word, we see something really remarkable. And when we see what the promise that God made to David regarding this mercy, this loving kindness. And that is called the sure mercies of David. And we're going to look in 2 Samuel to see this. As we go through the word here, we'll see how this incredibly big loving kindness has been extended to us forever. Forever. Not just right now, forever. 2 Samuel, chapter 7. David here was a blessed dude at this point. His enemies had all calmed down. He was in good shape. He was forgiven. He was in good shape. And he wanted to do something big for God. He wanted to build God a house. So he says to Nathan, I want to build God a house. So Nathan says, go ahead and do it. And then the word of the Lord comes to Nathan the prophet. And Nathan says, tell David, no. Don't build me a house. I'm going to do something for him. I'm going to establish his throne forever. Wow, right? And I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but that's the course of events. And then in chapter 7, verse 11, this is Nathan speaking the word of God to David. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord tells thee that he will make thee an house. And when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy father, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Skip down to 16. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. There are a lot of forevers in there, a whole lot of forevers. So God promises David that he's going to establish David's throne forever. And before we go any further, I think it's important to note David's response to God. So take a look over it. Verse 25. We'll start there. David didn't say, oh, no, 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 no. That's like way too much, okay? You remember the Bathsheba incident? Remember what I did back there where I had Uriah killed? And, you know, I've done a few things and, you know, no, that's too good. You can't, it's okay, God. It's okay. He didn't respond that way. Verse 25, and now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, has revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found it in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. I bet so. And now, O Lord God, thou art the God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now, let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. What a wise man to graciously and willing accept that loving kindness, that incredibly big loving kindness of our God in heaven. We're wise to follow that example too when God is endeavoring to bless us with something or teach us to accept it. He made us worthy You know, he wants to do these things for his people. So David's response really was just absolutely magnificent response to God. And we're going to look at Psalm 89 now. Verse 3. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in heaven can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of mighty can be likened unto the Lord? Let's go on to verse 19. Skip over there. Oops, I lost it. Here it is. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of my people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy, Shaked, shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. And I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers, and he shall cry to me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn. Now he's talking about Jesus Christ, higher than the kings of the earth. For my mercy, same thing here, loving kindness, will I keep for him forevermore. And my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever. And his throne as the days of heaven. The days of heaven is eternity. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Just like with the children of Israel. That big but. God was merciful towards them, had great loving kindness. Verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter or change. The thing has gone out of my lips. God is really being very reassuring that this promise to David that his throne and his seed would be established forever, he is making it very, very sure. These aren't the only places where this is in God's word. He wants people to know when they read his word that this is established. His seed shall endure. Oh. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Verse 35, once I have sworn by my holiness, that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established as forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. What a promise. What does this entail? We're going to see that. In Psalms and Isaiah refers to Jesus Christ regarding this promise to David. And it's interesting to note that in Matthew chapter 1, in the very beginning, you know how in the beginning of the Gospels there are genealogies, it tells the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Well, God's emphasis in Matthew, the first verse says, Jesus Christ, son of Abraham, son of David, son of Abraham. That's God's emphasis on it. It was Abraham to David to Jesus Christ. And then he goes into a fuller. But there was an emphasis there, and there's a reason. Let's look at Isaiah 55. I'm starting to get a little bit of an understanding of how big this kind of mercy is from God. It's magnanimous. It has a whole plan in there. Promises through centuries and centuries, that and it continues through eternity, this great loving kindness of him. It's just really big. Isaiah 55, verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. This is God saying, pay attention. Listen, listen. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Those certain, steady mercies, chaked, of David. The sure mercies of David. It's everlasting. It will never fail, this promise. Never fail. Let's look at Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, we're going to look, we'll see the Hebrew equivalent, the Greek equivalent to the Hebrew word, shaked, okay? And this is referring to the same thing. In Acts chapter 13, let's start in verse 26. Paul is speaking here. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, referring to Jesus Christ, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they didn't understand this promise, the people that didn't listen to the prophets. They have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. And this is perhaps the biggest but ever. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wow. Wherefore, he said also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. I want to read these two verses again. And we declare unto you the glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children. And that is the sure mercies of David. God has filled it to us. He made it sure, firm, established. The end was not a king of Judah on a throne. It is now Jesus Christ who sits on the throne forever, forever. Because of the resurrection, we therefore have eternal life. The sure mercies of David are continual because Jesus Christ lives. God said he would establish that throne forever, and that's the sure mercies of David. And we have that promise. His great, excellent, good, marvelous, multitudinous, better than life loving kindness brought to pass the sure mercies of David for us. And I want to close in Psalm 117. I'll just read it to you. Verse 2. It says, For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. So, pretty cool stuff. That's what I wanted to share. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.